Hi everyone, thanks for tuning in. I apologize for this particular talk being a little later than its usual time. I've just returned from a two-week trip to the UK, so I was unable to produce this response at its usual time. As usual, my thanks to Marcus Fellows for establishing this website and for posting these responses. However, this month, my special gratitude to Marcus for arranging this UK trip, for attending to every detail. It really was quite an amazing event, and he did an amazing job of pulling the whole thing together. Also, my thanks to those who were able to help Marcus in any way that they could. On my side of it, the whole thing was pretty much a two-week bliss state. And it really was quite marvelous, the whole thing. However, it is nice to get back to life in a more ordinary vein. I am left, though, with great memories of Still Point Center, an evening at the Cheshire Cheese, certain walkabouts through London, through Brick Lane, through, there was an evening in Chinatown that was quite memorable. There were walks in the British countryside, and memories of a lot of very wonderful people who turned out to the various gatherings that we put together over those 2 weeks. I still wouldn't mind walking through Brick Lane one more time. It was such an astounding place. Anyway, this month, only one question has come in, but it's a question that has multiple portions to it, so let's get down to it. A listener has written in with a set of 9 statements, and I'm not sure where he's taken these statements from. They seem to be from some kind of motivational program or some kind of self-development program. I'm not sure where exactly they're from, but this listener has written in saying, "Daryl, would the following statements be consistent with your experience of life or not?" The first question, or the first statement, I should say, is this: you can build resilience, you can manage your attention and organize yourself around that which is generative in your life and not around that which is disabling. So basically the question is that statement somehow consistent with my experience of life or not? So you can build resilience, you can manage your attention and organize yourself around that which is generative in your life and not around that which is disabling. So in my experience of life, you may appear to be able to do those things if that is what life is offering you. So obviously there are people, apparent individuals in existence who spend their time looking at that which is generative in their lives and trying to avoid that which is disabling. And they are given that very strong interest in life. However, there are those who have absolutely no interest in this, and no matter how much you tell them that they can build resilience, no matter how much you tell them that they can manage their attention and organize themselves around that which is generative in their life and not around that which is disabling, they somehow have no interest in that, or even if they do have an interest in that, they're not given those particular capacities. So in my experience of life, I would agree with Schopenhauer, and we can basically summarize a certain amount of what Schopenhauer was saying in the statement, you can do whatever you want to do in life, but you can't create your wants. Life gives you, or life presents you, as a particular arrangement of needs, interests, abilities, and lack of abilities. And that's our fundamental expression in existence. Everything that we apparently are is simply a movement of those apparent needs, interests, abilities, and lack of abilities. So we are not going to decide what our basic needs are. We are not going to decide what our fundamental interests in life are. We are not going to decide what abilities we're going to have, and we're not going to decide what lack of abilities we have. These are simply the expression of nature or existence or the universe or the great spirit or God, whatever you want to call it. Our fundamental expression in existence, well, basically our entire expression in existence, is the movement of nature. It's not something that we decide. And it's not something that we create. At least not from a non-dual perspective. So, once again, this is all simply for your consideration. I'm not saying that you have to see it the way I see it. I'm not saying that this is the one true way of experiencing existence. I'm simply saying this is one of life's many apparent expressions. If you relate to the perspective I'm offering, that's great. And if you don't relate to the perspective I'm offering, that's just as great. There's some other perspective that you relate to, and you'll be drawn to that. However, you won't decide what perspective you have. It will simply be the offering of nature. So, can you build resilience? Can you manage your attention and organize yourself around that which is generative in your life and not around that which is disabling? Absolutely, you can appear to be doing all of that if that's the way nature expresses you. If nature doesn't express you in that way, you're not going to be appearing to do that. The second statement he has here is, we can direct and focus our awareness and attention. We can look at ourselves from a distance, so to speak, in order to gain insight and perspective. By noticing our reaction, we can free ourselves to make choices that will allow us to cope with the situation. And my response to that is, yes, you can appear to do all of that if that's the way nature expresses you. You won't be deciding if that's the way nature is expressing you. Either nature expresses you in that fashion or it doesn't. There are lots of people who are appearing to direct and focus their awareness or their attention. There are lots of people who seem to be looking at themselves from a distance in order to gain some insight or perspective. And there are lots of people who seem to learn from noticing their reactions, and in some way they seem to be able to, or they are learning to cope with a situation in a different way. But all of that is simply the expression of nature. For every person that has that interest, there is another apparent person who has no interest in any of that, nor do they have any ability to. Or there are many people who have no ability to direct and focus their awareness or attention. I mean, this is like, to say that all of us can do this, this is like saying that all of us are physically born equal, and that someone with two legs, or someone born with one leg is going to be capable of absolutely everything that someone born with two legs is capable of, or someone who is born with a major interest and talent in math, someone who has no major interest or talent in math, is somehow going to be capable of all the things that someone who is born with a major interest and a major talent in math is capable of. I mean, this is absurd. Nature presents us in whatever way it presents us. We are presented with particular needs, interests, abilities, and lack of abilities. And, you know, if we get one set of needs, interests, abilities, and lack of abilities, that's great. But if we don't get that particular set of needs, interests, abilities, or lack of abilities, that's also great. We each have our particular talents. To start telling everybody that, I mean, obviously, whoever has been making these statements, they are given this particular approach to life. They appear to have certain abilities and certain capacities. They appear to be directing themselves through their life in this way. And now they're telling everybody else that everybody else has this particular interest. Everybody else has this particular capacity. And this is absurd. If you're given this particular perspective on life and it appears that you're approaching life in this way, that's great. But to go around telling everybody else that that's what they're supposed to be, it's like a duck telling all the birds in the world that they're supposed to be ducks. It's ridiculous. The third statement this listener has written down is, human beings can choose a perspective that mobilizes something in them and moves them towards effective action. Well, we don't get to choose our perspective on life. We don't get to choose how our brain, how our apparent brain, processes the event of life, how it approaches the event of life. To say that all of us are equally born with exactly the same proclivities, the same tendencies, the same abilities, and to urge everyone in one particular direction, this makes no sense at all to me from my apparent experience of existence. So, fourth statement, we are free to choose our attitude towards everything that happens to us. Not in my experience. So, again, I'm with Schopenhauer when he says, you can do whatever you want to do, you just don't get to create your wants. All of us have a unique arrangement of needs, interests, and abilities, as well as lack of abilities. In the same way that some of us are born with one leg, some of us are born with no legs, some of us are born with two legs, some of us are born with a major interest in math, others are born with a major interest in art, an interest and ability in math or art or science or whatever. We are not the same. We are not identical. And to go around telling everyone that we are free to choose what we are, this is ridiculous. Nature presents our basic needs, interests, concerns, abilities, lack of abilities, and our whole existence is the apparent movement of those apparent sensibilities, none of which we choose. To go around telling everyone that we're free to be whatever we choose to be, simply builds up some notion that if we somehow don't end up being what we want to be, that it's our failure. It simply places some mass judgment on humankind, leaving a lot of people feeling inadequate, leaving a lot of people feeling as though they're some kind of failure, when in fact, each and every expression of existence is a wild, exotic, and unique expression of the universe, the Great Spirit, God, whatever you want to call it. To walk around thinking that we're the center of it, that it's all about us, and that we're moving the universe. This makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. I mean, if you're given this particular perspective, if you're presented in this way, that's fine. That's totally fine. But to go around saying that everyone should have this attitude, everyone should have this perspective, this is totally absurd. According to everyone's experience of existence, let alone mine. The fifth statement that this person has written down is this. Start from acceptance of what is. Enter the future without the domination of fear. So would that statement be consistent with my experience of life? Well, it's a nice thing to say. Start from acceptance of what is. Enter the future without the domination of fear. Once again, if life presents you with that possibility, wonderful. If it doesn't, that's also wonderful. I mean, it's quite a glib thing to say, start from acceptance of what is. In my experience, no one can willingly accept what life presents. The only true acceptance is the realization that it will present whatever it's going to present, whether you like it or not. And it's the realization that there's absolutely no option in that. That's from my experience. Yeah, what do I know? The sixth statement is, we can determine a wide variety of perspectives on any situation, and we invest ourselves in the one that supports us, that's liberating, that's generative, rather than the ones that are disabling, by finding the evidence that that's true. Once again, if you're drawn to this kind of exploration, if you're drawn to this particular perspective, great, that's wonderful. But that's not the one and only true approach to life. That's one of life's mysterious expressions. Maybe you're expressed in this way, maybe you're not. Either way is fine. So statement number 7, we can go beyond having to know in order to act and have not knowing be the beginning of the actions and skills of invention, innovation, experimentation, and exploration. Well, maybe we can, maybe we can't. Maybe we apparently can, maybe we apparently can't. If life expresses you in a way that you begin to explore the fact that there's no way of knowing what life is, there's no way of saying ultimately what life is, and if you're expressed in a way where it seems that you're drawn to move from that place of not knowing, and life then becomes an apparent movement of experimentation, exploration, innovation, and invention, that's great. However, once more, that is not the one true way to be living. This is one of the ways that life apparently expresses apparent human beings. The eighth statement in this message was, is, when the world breaks, we can learn to be bigger than the break, to open and enter a new future instead of the broken old one, a future held in our care, in a dance with aliveness and gratitude. Well, once again, if life expresses us this way, that's great. If it doesn't express us this way, that's also great. We each have our own particular sensibilities. We each have our own particular approach to life. It may be similar to others. It can never be identical to anyone else. In the same way that no two snowflakes are ever identical, no two moments are ever identical, no two people ever have exactly the same breath rate or the same pulse rate or the same skin composition. In that same way, each of us is a very unique approach to life, and all of it is nature's offering. We do not create our bodies or our brains. We don't create our basic needs, interests, concerns. We don't create our basic abilities or lack of abilities. All of that is nature's dance. And finally, the last statement is we can learn to see how we work against ourselves and can learn to avoid thwarting our intentions. So once again, if nature presents us in that way, that's wonderful. But if it doesn't present us in that way, that's also wonderful, because really, we don't have any option. Nature is going to present us in whatever way it presents us. If it's presenting you in a certain way with a certain perspective, and maybe it presents you in a way that you seem to be a wonderfully intelligent human being that has incredible skills, intelligent human being that has wonderful skills of observing life and apparently is able to learn from life in a very particular way, and from that a certain life seems to grow, that's wonderful. That's wonderful if life presents you that way. But I would say be very cautious about thinking that you're at the center of that. Be very cautious about thinking that it's all about you, that you're a self-made human being, that it's all directly the result of your efforts, that you're the center of the universe, that it's all about you. Be very careful about this me, 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 it's all about me, and everyone else should be like me. Be very careful about expressing that. If you're interested in considering this, be very careful about expressing that, because you aren't the center of the universe. You don't create yourself. No one's experience of life backs that up. If you have a certain approach to life, if you're driven to approach life in a certain way, you do not create that drive. That's the expression of nature, the universe, God, the Great Spirit. And if you start telling everybody that it is all about you, and that it's your doing, and that everybody else has that exact same capacity, all you're doing is placing a mass judgment on humankind, which is creating a huge amount of suffering in a lot of areas. There may be others drawn to your approach. There may be others expressed in a similar fashion to you, and that's wonderful. You can gather with those people. You can share your particular approach to life. You can share your common sensibilities. That's wonderful. But to say that everyone is supposed to be that expression, that's like all the sparrows in the world gathering together and telling all the birds in the world that they're supposed to be sparrows. It just isn't true. It doesn't make any sense. Once again, this is all simply for your consideration. I'm not saying that everyone should agree with my interpretation of these statements. I'm not saying that my approach is the one and only true way to approach existence. I'm simply saying this is one of the many expressions of existence, the many and varied expressions of existence. If you relate to it, wonderful. If not, that's just as wonderful. These various statements that were in this question, these seem to be coming from some kind of motivational program of some kind, and that's great. There are all kinds of wonderful motivational speakers in the world making huge amounts of money, telling everyone that they can have absolute control over their own existence, that all they have to do is get motivated and push their life in a certain direction. And for those that are attracted to that approach to life, that's great. But there are many, many more people that are not attracted to that approach to life. They somehow have the sense that life has given them certain abilities and lack of abilities, and they must function from what life has offered. And that's just as wonderful. If anyone thinks that by imagining that they are totally at the center of their existence, that they are totally responsible for whatever happens in their existence, if someone has the impression that to believe that everything is going to feel perfect, it just isn't true. And this brings me to one of the questions that was commonly asked when I was away in the UK was, what do I do? What am I supposed to do in life? You know, people would say that they understand from this non-dual perspective that life is a totally undivided, inexplicable happening, simply presenting itself. But then what are we supposed to do? And this is one of the most perhaps frustrating aspects of a so-called non-dual perspective, because the non-dual perspective is pointing out that never at any time have we ever been influencing the movement of life. That what appears to be our doing, that grows from our basic body and brain, our basic needs, interests, concerns, our basic abilities and lack of abilities. And in this non-dual perspective, it's simply pointing out that those basic aspects of what we are, the body and the brain, the basic needs, interests, concerns, abilities, and lack of abilities, none of that is our doing. That's entirely the movement of nature. So whatever direction seems to arise in life from those aspects is also the movement of nature. It's just the playing out of the inherent needs, interests, concerns, abilities, and lack of abilities that we are. And all of that is the movement of nature. There is no me that's separate from existence that can add anything more to this. I am this particular arrangement of body and brain, needs, interests, concerns, abilities, and lack of abilities. That's what you are as well. All of it is the dance of the universe, the movement of the Great Spirit, God, the Tao, quantum process, whatever you want to call it. All of it is the movement of this larger event. A so-called human being is not the center of the universe. A so-called human being is not making the universe move. We are expressions of the universe. We are expressions of nature. And that will play out in whatever way it plays out. Ultimately, from this non-dual perspective, we don't really have to be overly concerned about how it's going to play out, because never at any moment do we actually influence that. So we are presented in whatever way we're presented. The particular needs, interests, concerns, abilities, and lack of abilities are simply presented from moment to moment, apparently from moment to moment, and they will move in whatever way they move. So even though existence is ultimately unformed, it is undivided, it can't really be explained in any way whatsoever. Within this world of apparent form, it's quite obvious that, you know, when we were 1 hour old, we weren't deciding how we were going to be expressed. So there was an apparent body and brain being expressed. There was an apparent arrangement of needs, interests, concerns, abilities, and lack of abilities being expressed, and we weren't doing any of it. Now, that changed. Without our even wanting it to change, it apparently changed. So at 4 years old, it was a different arrangement of body and brain, needs, interests, concerns, abilities, and lack of abilities. And we didn't create that apparent arrangement. It's simply an expression of nature. And that changed. At 10, it was a different arrangement. At 18, it's a different arrangement. At 20, it's a different arrangement. Whatever we are now is, once again, a different arrangement. And whatever it seems to be in this moment is on its way to some other expression. So we don't really have to be concerned about what we're supposed to do. Each of us is a unique expression. So no one can tell you what you're supposed to be or what you're supposed to be doing, because you are a unique expression of this larger event. Once again, this is from a non-dual perspective. Either you relate to it or you don't relate to it. Either one is fine. But if you really consider how your life has presented itself thus far, it's a very easy thing to realize that all the way along the line, we are an expression of nature. We are an expression of, you know, you can call it the universe. Ultimately, the word universe means undivided turning. So it's simply an event that has no particular form. It's not going to be anything in particular. Whatever it seems to be is always moving on to something else. And we're not making that happen. We are an expression of this event. We are an expression of the universe, an expression of nature, an expression of God, the Tao, the Great Spirit, whatever you want to call it. We don't exist as anything apart from this expression, from this happening, from this unformed event. And the event is presenting itself in whatever way it presents itself. Each apparent form, even though form is ultimately false, each apparent form is unique. So just as no two snowflakes are identical, no two apparent human beings are identical. So no two apparent human beings are going to have exactly the same approach to life. No two apparent human beings will have the same sense of life. Each one is a unique expression of this larger event that we call nature, God, the Great Spirit, the Tao, the unformed ocean of existence, the river of life, whatever. And in that, our apparent being and our apparent doing, our apparent needs, you know, what we apparently need and what is apparently of most interest to us is simply being expressed in that movement. At 4, it was one arrangement. At 10, it's another. At 20, it's another. At 30, it's another. And so on. In this moment, the things that are of most interest to you, the things that you apparently need the most, those will simply present themselves. At times, they may not seem all that clear. At other times, it may be a real drive in a particular direction. But all of it is ultimately the dance of existence. It's never been what you could call our doing. It's simply the expression of this much larger, mysterious dance of life. And if you relate to this perspective, there can be an incredible sense of relaxing, because all the way along, it's never been our doing. It will never ultimately be our doing, because there is only this larger, inexplicable dance. We are a portion of that dance. We are an expression of nature. We are an expression of the Great Spirit, the one turning, the undivided, unformed dance of existence. This dance will play out in whatever way it plays out. For each and every apparent human being, it will have both ups and downs. Apparent ups and downs. It will have moments of clarity, moments of confusion, moments of joy, moments of sorrow, moments of confidence, moments of anxiety, moments of incredible courage, and moments of extreme fear. That's how this great unformed dance of existence expresses itself. It does not express any two apparent forms in an identical fashion. We are not all going to join hands and sing the same song of love and peace. The apparent spiritual traditions have been around for apparently thousands of years. claiming in a lot of cases that if we just get down to these spiritual practices, we will all arrive at this great capacity that we have to move ourselves towards joy and peace and loving kindness and all the rest of it. But even with hundreds of thousands of people claiming this over many thousands of years, it hasn't happened. We haven't joined hands to sing the same song of love and peace. There is more apparent complexity, more apparent differentiation, more apparent conflict right now than there has ever seemed to be throughout history. So it's not true. We're not all going to join hands and sing the same song of love and peace. Even more than that, there's some very strange fantasy that there is something wrong with the differentiation and the conflict that exists within existence. That somehow we're meant to overcome all the conflict and live in a constant state of peace, a constant state of clarity, a constant state of joy. You know, this is a very bizarre fantasy about existence. Every one of us knows that when we apparently came out of the womb, we had no sense of existence at all. We had no feeling of understanding existence in any way whatsoever. And yet, apparently in our adult stage, not only do we go around thinking that we know what life is, that we know what existence is, we know that most of it is wrong in its expression. Somehow we have the impression that God is expressing God in some incorrect fashion, or that nature is expressing nature in a wrong way, or the universe is expressing itself incorrectly. This is bizarre. This is really some fantastic imagining that, you know, is not backed up in anybody's actual experience of existence. Again, this is just for your consideration. I'm not saying that anyone has to agree with what I'm saying, or anyone has to look at life in this way. It's just simply for your consideration. I'm pointing to your experience of existence. You don't have the experience that life is presenting any two people in some identical fashion. Even identical twins, when you examine them, they have big differences. We all have the experience that each of us is apparently born with a different body and a different brain to those of us around us, to those around us. We all have the experience that we're born with a particular set of abilities. Some of us have certain needs, others of us have other needs. It's quite obvious that we're born expressed by nature in a way that's somewhat different to each and every other expression of nature. So this notion that some of us, that somehow we can all just adopt one particular approach to life, and that we're all totally equal in our capacities in approaching life in that way, this doesn't make any sense based on our experience of life, our common experience of life. It doesn't make any sense. It makes more sense to say that each of us is a unique expression of nature, that each of us has a unique arrangement of body and brain, a unique arrangement of needs, interests, concerns, abilities, and lack of abilities. That, at least, is supported by our general experience of life. Again, this is just for your consideration. There is no example anywhere that life is going to move us all in a general direction, move us all to one particular goal, to one particular understanding, to one particular perspective, to one particular approach. There's no example anywhere in existence of that being the case. Life will play out in whatever way it plays out. We will be expressed in whatever way we're expressed. Each of us is a unique expression. Each apparent person, each apparent form is a unique expression. Even though ultimately life is an unformed, indefinable dance, in the illusion of form, the mirage of form, each apparent form is unique. Each apparent human being is unique. We will be danced in whatever way we're danced. We will be expressed in whatever way we're expressed. It makes no sense. It wouldn't make any sense to find one sunset that we particularly liked and from that moment on say that every sunset after that has to reach that standard, has to be just like that. That would make no sense whatsoever. If we adopted that approach, we would be totally incapable of appreciating each and every sunset for the unique and beautiful expression that it is. So if we get into these notions that somehow we're all supposed to have the same approach, that we are the center of the universe, we can take control, we can move our lives in exactly the way we want them to move, there's going to be an incredible amount of frustration in that. For those that are apparently given, a great amount of ability and they're given situations of great wealth and a particular body and a particular brain that everybody seems to admire, that's great. But for those of us who aren't given that, it's not that great. And to think that life is supposed to present us all in one particular way, it makes 99.99999% of the rest of life's expression feel inadequate. If we walked into some tropical forest, we would not stand there pointing to one particular tree and telling all the other trees in the forest that they're supposed to be that particular tree. We wouldn't be telling the beetles that if they tried a little harder, they could have been butterflies. Instead, we would be amazed at the variety of expression. We would be looking out at the wild, exotic, unique expressions, each and every expression being unique, the wild, exotic, and unique expressions of existence, and marveling at the incredible range of expression. And yet somehow, we get together as human beings and we start telling each other that this one particular human being is the one right expression of humankind, and that the rest of us haven't quite done our jobs properly. This makes no sense. It's ridiculous. I look out at the range of expression of humankind and I see wild, exotic, and unique expressions of existence. Each one a marvelously unique arrangement that's different in some way from each and every other arrangement. Each one a legitimate expression of the wild dance of existence. There is only that wild dance. There is only the wild expression of nature, the universe, the great spirit, God, the Tao. It will dance us in whatever way it dances us. Each and every apparent expression is unique. Each and every apparent expression is valid. Each and every expression is legitimate. And each and every expression is the pure and natural expression of existence. Or not. Maybe you relate to this perspective, maybe you don't. I'm simply pointing to your own experience of existence thus far and asking you what that reveals. So that's it. This is the response for this one question that came in the month of September. Or excuse me, the one question that came in the month of August. So hopefully I'll be able to post the September response at its usual time. Actually, no questions have come in thus far, so there may not be any response. Thanks for tuning in, and hope life is offering you quite a wide range of ups and downs. It makes for a nicer ride in some way. Talk to you later. Bye.